O God of light, make possible my hope and show your grace. For indeed, how will we be able to enter the kingdom of heaven? And it is impossible with our sin, impossible in how we are turned away from him. And Jesus looked at the disciples and he looks at us and said, with man, with people, it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Amen. Top Chef, Iron Chef, Chopped, Cake Boss, and of course, Hell's Kitchen. There's all cooking shows, right? There's shows about cooking, right? And we could keep going on, right? Remember when Food TV started? I thought, well, who's going to be able to have 24 hours a day on cooking? Well, they're doing it, right? But they're all about cooking, right? Or not? Are some of those shows actually not as much about cooking and more about the host? Or more about the judges who are very difficult to please? Very difficult to please. In fact, that's the sense of the word that Jesus uses in Mark chapter 10, our gospel reading today. I mean, he's not talking about a cooking show. He's talking about what it means to follow Christ, so what it means to be a disciple. But he uses a word that kind of has that same kind of sense. He says how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. That difficult is a difficult to please with food. How difficult it is to please certain people with food. That's the difficult word that he uses there. It's kind of like saying how difficult it will be for a cooking show judge to enjoy a meal made by someone else. Difficult to please with food. Again, Jesus is talking spiritually. He's not talking about a cooking show. He is talking about discipleship, but that sense of difficult to please, it helps us to see a dimension of what he's saying here. Go back to food for a second, though. If you are difficult to please with food, and raise your hand if you got somebody in your family who's difficult to please with food. They're persnickety, right? They're finicky. They're a little difficult. Raise your hand if you're going to admit that you're the one in the family who's picky about food. But if you're either a judge on a cooking show, your regular life, you're a kid, if you're difficult to please with food, what do you miss out on? What do you miss out on? Miss out on good food, new experiences. And if you're picky about food and difficult to please, sometimes you miss out on food. Like you're going backpacking and there's only a certain kind of food there. And if you're going to be picky about it, then you're just going to go to bed hungry. So if you're difficult to please with food, there's things you're going to miss out on. So now go to the disciples. And go to us as followers of Christ. If you are difficult to please with God's plan of salvation, difficult to please maybe because of your wealth, what do you miss out on? You miss out on true hope, salvation, forgiveness, eternal life, the kingdom of God. But why? Why is wealth here? Why is Jesus talking this way about wealth? Why does having wealth make one difficult to please with the gospel? And before you start thinking, well, I'm not wealthy, this doesn't apply to me, just remember that, I'll make up an answer, 95% of the world has less than most of us. But why is wealth difficult? Well, go back again to food. Let's keep using food as this kind of parallel. If you're difficult to please with food, why? What are some reasons somebody might be difficult to please with food? Well, maybe it's because you've decided that you know what tastes good and you know what tastes bad. Therefore, you know what you will eat. Or you're difficult to please because you lack other experiences. You know a certain kinds of food, and anything outside, you don't really have an experience with it, and so you don't know what you're missing. Or you're scared to try something new, right? Scared. And with that is kind of a lack of trust in someone else's advice. Somebody comes and recommends that you try a certain kind of food, and you don't have trust in them. And so you miss out on trying that food. And in fact, let's just try this here. You just fill in the blank, you know, that think of a food that somebody might recommend to you, and you're like, no way, that could never be good. But they're coming to you and they're saying, this is awesome. You really need to try what? Fill in the blank here. You know, I really want you to try. These people, you've got to get more participation. Come on, what food can you not imagine eating if I said, hey, you've really got to try this. This is great. Please try. Haggis. I heard haggis. Haggis is a good companion for the 8 o'clock answer that I heard, which was boiled octopus. See? Come on, you got to be open to these things. Somebody's recommended it, all right? It's the same with wealth. If you are difficult to please with the kingdom of God, why is that? Why is it that we might be difficult to please with the kingdom of God because of our wealth? Why is that? Well, maybe it's because we've decided that we know how the world should work. And if God shows up with a different message, well, then that just doesn't seem right because we know how the kingdom is supposed to work. Or maybe we're difficult to please with the kingdom of God and the gospel because we're secure in taking care of myself. I'm doing all right on my own. Why pay attention? Or we lack other experiences or ideas. We've kind of closed ourselves off to new information. But then really what it comes down to is a lack of trust in God. We trust in wealth, we trust in our possessions, we trust in our job, we trust in our family, we trust in whatever it is, but we don't trust in God. And someone comes alongside and recommends, hey, I know this God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this, and he sent his son Jesus, and Jesus died for our sins. You ought to try learning about him and trusting in him. And we think that sounds like haggis. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And what do you miss out on? You miss out on true hope. You miss out on salvation, forgiveness, eternal life. You miss out on the kingdom of God. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't actually come to the disciples and say, you're going to miss out on the kingdom of God because you're not doing enough. You're going to miss out on the kingdom of God because you haven't built enough wealth. He doesn't come to them and actually talk to them anything about achieving something. He is saying, and he had said to the young ruler, set down your wealth, set it aside and follow me. He's coming and actually liberating us, freeing us from all the other kinds of things that weigh us down. Preacher, writer William Willimon, who was the dean of the chapel at Duke University, wrote about this passage. And it's a really interesting article because he's the dean at the chapel of Duke University, and he needs to preach on Mark 10 and tell all these students, most of whom are from very affluent backgrounds, hey, don't trust in your wealth. Go have a beautiful day at this university that has cost you or your family a lot of money. So he says this is a very difficult thing. In fact, his friend said, cheer up. This is a bad neighborhood for Jesus. It's like a very difficult neighborhood for Jesus to be heard. But what Willimon points out is, was Jesus asking the rich young man, and is he asking us to do something terrible and difficult, or something that is liberating and wonderful? The gospel comes and it sounds like bad news, but it's actually good news. This story is part of the good news. This story is about saying it is not about your wealth, it is not about your fame, it is not about how much you've, you know, done in life and checked all the boxes and everything. This story is about saying it's not about that. Come and follow me. It is about a gift of salvation. This story is good news. And the fact that it sounds like bad news to me means that I'm caught up in some other things besides the gospel. Jesus, you want me to get rid of what? When it sounds like bad news, it means that there's something else going on in me, because this is actually good news. What would it mean to see that Jesus is teaching us something that is liberating and wonderful? Here's what it would mean. It would mean realizing that there is a world of food out there besides Kraft macaroni and cheese. Sorry if you work for Kraft. There's a world of food beyond that. I learned that eventually. And with God, there's a world of God beyond trying to save myself through acquiring wealth or trying to save myself through whatever ways. The gospel is liberating. It is freeing and wondrous because we can set aside all of that and trust in Him. Jesus was not teaching that necessarily that we have to put down our wealth and then try to achieve something else. In other words, he's saying, stop achieving and begin receiving. That with the kingdom of God, it is about receiving. It is the difference between closed fists and open hand. Closed fist means I'm not willing to receive anything else, especially because if I'm going to try to receive something else that somebody gives me, I'm going to have to let go and I might drop what I already achieved. That's closed fist. It's difficult to receive the word of God if you are satisfied with what you already know, or if you're satisfied working hard to hold on to your own answers. But the Holy Spirit wants to open our hands, to let go of what we own, to hold things lightly, to be able to share our things with others, to be open to receiving. You realize you can't achieve it all, especially in the kingdom of God. We receive the word of God, and it's salvation on God's terms. It is grace. It is gift. It is receiving, just as you saw Vivian receive today. She didn't do a thing. I don't even think she put on her own dress today. And yet, here she is receiving the kingdom of God through the water and word of baptism. It is no different for the rest of us. We're about to confess our faith using some explanation words from Martin Luther. And it talks about how we don't do anything to achieve or get our faith. It is a gift by the Holy Spirit. And so, if you realize today you've got this closed life, holding on to what you've achieved, holding on to what you have, holding on to what you think, God is inviting us and working in us to have an open-handed life, open to receiving His word, open to receiving His grace, open to receiving His work in our lives. And if we are there, we will then get that liberating, wondrous gift of true hope, salvation, eternal life in the kingdom of God. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith. What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Amen.